So as Ian said, Nathan is unfortunately sick, so this morning I got caught off the bench and got to preach this sermon twice already today, so third time lucky for you guys. If you heard it this morning, I'm sorry. Well, maybe it'll be better this time, so let's see. All right, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you speak to us tonight from it, Lord. We pray that you open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us tonight, Lord. We pray that you encourage us, Lord. We pray that that you speak through me in my weakness, Lord. We just give you this time now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so when I was 25, my wife, Michelle, and I decided that it would be an awesome idea to, on Australia Day, enter into a surfboard paddle race on Sydney Harbour. We thought it was a great idea to paddle around on Sydney Harbour. How often do you get to have a shot at that? So it was a 3.5-kilometre race. So in the weeks leading up to the race, I was talking it up a little bit to my wife, a bit of male pride. I was saying how much I was going to beat her by. I was paying her out saying, I wonder if you can even paddle 3.5 kilometres. You know, I was working as a baggage handler at the time and I was lifting about 1,000 bags a day, so I had real muscles, not pasta muscles like I have now. So we jumped in the water next to the Opera House, beautiful scenic, 1,000 other people were on surfboards. The gun goes off, we start paddling for about 500 metres heading towards Fort Denison, I think it is, and we get to about 500 metres and then I don't see my wife again. She absolutely slaughters me by 10 minutes. While I was paddling in that race, my arms were aching, my neck was sore. Apparently my body is not made to paddle 3.5 kilometres. So often in that race, I just wanted to wave to one of those nice support boats, say, come and pick me up, you know, I really want to stop this pain. But the fact that my wife was beating the pants off me motivated me no end. And the fact that she had gone ahead and was already finished, again, it motivated me. So in John 2, John is encouraging the church to keep walking in the truth. Sometimes this is not without pain. When paddling that day, my pride and the fact that my wife was beating me motivated me to the end of the race. What John is saying here is that we need to use Jesus as our motivator. That is what's going to keep us going to the end of the race, until we spend eternity with him. Just as Michelle went ahead of me that day, Jesus has gone ahead of us to make a place for us. So at the end of that race that day, I was so tired. I was so sore. I'd given absolutely everything to finish. I was so tight in my arms that I took off my wet shorts and I couldn't even pull up my dry shorts. My arms were so dead. I had given absolutely everything. And this is what I want to be able to say on the day that Jesus takes me home. That I have given absolutely everything to him. And we should all strive to live our lives in a way that it means we can say that we had nothing left to give to Jesus. So let's spend some time in 2 John and let it encourage us to keep walking in the truth and with Jesus. In verses 1 to 3, it says, to the elder, to the lady chosen by God and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. John opens the letter with a description of himself as the elder, showing them who the letter is from. We then see the recipients of the letter, the lady chosen by God and her children. There is debate whether John is actually writing to a specific lady, but it's more commonly thought that he was writing to a church, and the lady being the church, and the children being the people in the church. Also in the opening, John mentions the word, the truth, four times. The truth he's referring to here is the message of Jesus, the gospel, the truth that binds us and this church all together, the truth that Jesus was God's only Son, and that he came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, and that we might be able to spend eternity with him. This is the truth that John is talking about. This is what he wants us to be walking in and living for. And then in verse 4, it says, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commands." John talks about us walking in faith and that we need to keep on walking in the truth. His challenge to us is to keep walking in this truth, no matter what the world throws at us. Kind of like my story earlier, no matter what happened that day, I was going to keep paddling to the end of the race. This is what John really wants to encourage this church to do, to keep on walking in the truth. And this is what I want to encourage us tonight to be doing. And this sounds easier than it is. As we walk along in our faith, the world throws many things at us to try and push us off the narrow path. We live in quite a rich country where many of us are well off, and we are able to get most things that we want to get our happiness. So where does Jesus fit in? If there's nothing that we want that we can't get for ourselves, where does Jesus fit in your life? Are you easily sucked into the world? It takes all our effort not to walk in the world, but to stay in the truth. John was very excited to find many of the people still walking the truth. It must have been a great feeling for John to see the church that he invested in still holding strong to Jesus. A few years ago, I spent a year working down in Kiama Baptist Church as the youth pastor down there. In that year, I invested in one young guy who was in year 10 at the time. I spent a lot of my year investing, discipling, praying with him, answering his questions. And after that year, I left. And just a few years ago, I heard someone ask me if I knew this guy. And I said, yeah. And they said that they'd heard his testimony at a beach mission. And he had said that that year that I had spent with him was the year that God really opened his eyes to what he had done, and that he was still walking strong in the truth. This was really exciting for me to know that he was holding on to the truth and living for Jesus. And this is what John must have been feeling when he found out about these children still walking in the truth. John then goes to encourage us not only to walk in the truth, but to walk in love and obedience in verses 5 and 6. "And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to this command, as you have heard from the beginning. This command is that you walk in love." John continues to encourage us to keep walking in truth, love, and obedience in these verses. Walking is a doing word. John is not encouraging us to sit in the truth. He is telling us to keep walking in it. So if we are in truth, we should be loving and being obedient. We should be walking in all three together. We cannot do one without the other. How can we say to ourselves that we are walking in truth if we are not loving and living obedient lives? We cannot walk in love without truth. We cannot walk in obedience without truth. The faith and love that we have in us are signs of a new birth and a new life that we have with Jesus. Love is expressed in obedience. If we love Christ, we shall show it by keeping his commands. So how are you going in this? How often do we hear a sermon preached or read our Bible and see the change that we need to make, but fail to make it? Remember, John is saying that we must walk in the truth, not sit in it. This year, our youth team sat down at the start of the year and we set ourselves visions and goals that we wanted to do throughout this year. At the end of term one, we sat down and we reassessed and looked at those goals. And we came to the realization that we were not meeting these goals how we wanted to. This was hard for us to look at ourselves and see that we were not doing what we had committed to do. As we reflected on this and spent time in prayer, God really helped us again to commit ourselves to this ministry. The truth we have in leads us to an uncontrollable passion, which is unselfish and burns in our hearts to serve the youth and to live for him. So is it a time in your life where you need to be reflecting on how you are walking with Jesus? Are you walking in love and obedience, or do you just find yourself sitting there right now? There's two times in my life where I've really been challenged about where I sit in my walk with Jesus. One was when I was 19, I got back from a short-term mission trip and I was asked to share at the front of church. And I remember looking out at our nice green comfy pews. And since I'm now 33, it was a long time ago and it's nice to see we still have green comfy pews. But I was really challenged that I had just been sitting in my walk with Jesus and not really walking with him. And then the other time was just in this last week. My wife, Michelle, works for Pioneers, the mission organization, and she sent me a link to this video. It's a video about the Peace Child, and it's about this missionary couple with their seven-month-old baby that about 50 years ago they went into an Indonesian village where there was much turmoil and much fighting, and they went in to share Jesus. And after about a year, the villagers would not stop fighting each other. They just kept killing each other. So they said to them, if you guys don't stop fighting, we're going to leave. So what they did, the villagers did, was they swapped a firstborn boy between each of the villagers. And it was called the Peace Child. And because of this Peace Child, the missionaries then be able to show them the ultimate Peace Child of Jesus. And so the video shows about this missionary couple going back 50 years after they'd been there to see what Jesus had been doing. And this really challenged me to think about, am I still willing to say to God that I will go anywhere and do anything you call me to? It is a challenge each day to get up and walk in the truth. And every day we need to get up and choose Jesus. This is not easy, but we have the eternal goal that we are living for. So take courage that it is hard for all of us. But I encourage you to get up every day and to lift those legs for Jesus. John then goes on to warn us about false teachers. In verse 7 it says, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in flesh have gone out into this world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. John now moves on to tell us to be careful of whom we are listening to, that there are many deceivers out there trying to lead us astray. He names them as deceivers and antichrist. John also talks about the deceivers and antichrist in 1 John. When John is talking about the antichrist here, he's talking about someone who does not believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was sent as our Savior. In our world, there are many people trying to lead us astray with teachings that claim that Jesus was not the Christ or that he did not even come. We need to be aware of this, on guard, and make sure that everything that we are listening to points to Jesus. All those sermons that we download, that they are pointing to Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 8 and 9, watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be fully rewarded fully. We need to be actively aware, constantly evaluating our own lives so that we do not fade away. Do not let your life become so busy that your walk with Christ just slips away. We have a goal that we are going to spend eternity with our Father. We need to be checking ourselves, ensuring that our lives are living with that eternal perspective. We need to make sure that we are including God in all we do, not just when things are going wrong in our lives, not just when we're having trouble paying that bill or we're having trouble with our friends. We should be seeking God when our lives are good too. We get too connected with our money and our houses and the friends and we forget about God. But it's in these times too that we should be praising God. We need to be seeking God and his will in all aspects of our life. And not only should we be looking out for ourselves, we should be looking out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be loving, caring, and praying for each other. We should be keeping each other accountable that we are walking in the truth. If you are in my youth team, is one of my rules that if they are in my youth team, these guys have to have mentors. This is because walking in the truth is not easy. And just as John is trying to guide the church in this letter, we often need someone to help guide us. I want someone besides me investing, guiding, praying for each one of my individual youth leaders as they live to serve the youth and each other. I encourage us all to here to think about that. Do you have a mentor? Do you have yourself an accountability partner? You are never too old or too young to need help in your walk. It's hard every day to get up and choose Jesus. We are swamped by newspaper articles, news on the TV, our friends, our family telling us that we should be living for ourselves. And sometimes we just need that person who will ask that question, what are your motives? And remind us that we have chosen Jesus and that we need to be living lives that reflect that. So please be caring for each other, be praying with each other. If someone takes the step to share with you, don't just get up and walk away. Say those hard words, can I pray for you? And don't just walk away again, sit there and pray. We want our brothers and sisters to stay strong in their walk. This is important to me. It's very much a passion of mine to see our youth and our youth leaders stay strong in their walk. That one day that I will see them again in heaven. It's heartbreaking to watch our friends, our family, not know the truth or walk away from the truth. So we are to be watching, making sure that we're doing all our can for each other. All those around you, be praying, caring, loving and investing in each other. And in verse 9, he goes on to say, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in his teaching has both the Father and the Son. John is warning us not to rush ahead. Don't think that you know it all and that you do not need Jesus in your life anymore. We need to be careful that we're not leaving God and his word behind, making sure that we don't add things to the gospel, thinking that we have some special knowledge and move away from the cross and resurrection of Jesus, making sure our ministries and our lives point to Jesus in all we do. John is encouraging us to walk with Jesus, not run ahead, but listen and walk and live our lives with him. And then John gives a second warning in verses 10 to 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them there. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. John is again warning the church about those who are not teaching the gospel. He's not talking about people physically coming into your house, but talking about official visitors and teachers that may come to the church and take away from the message. So don't just let any guy up with a Tarakas t-shirt come and preach. Again, we need to be always on guard and allowing to make sure they're pointing to the gospel. Be checking it. Who's teaching in our youth? Who's teaching our children? Who's coming to your home group? And be on guard. And then John moves on to his final words in 12 and 13. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit and talk to you face to face, that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister who's chosen by God send their greeting. I do like the way John finishes here. He says, I have much more to say, but I will come talk to you face to face. We don't know if he ran out of ink, his internet dropped out, I'm not sure what it was. But I'm very much with John here. So often, how often do we read things and take them out of context? We get an email, an SMS, a Facebook message from a friend, and we read it in one tone or one way, and it's met in a different way or a different tone. As my youth and youth leaders know, I have dyslexia, and my emailing skills and my SMS skills are pretty bad. They're always paying me out for how bad my grammar is, no full stops, or I spell words instead of paints, it's pants, or, you know, instead of a B, it's a D. You know, I'm okay with it. They just need to be okay with it. But I'm definitely with John here. I'm always keen to share face to face. I may not be able to email well, but I do love to sit and share and invest and talk. I'm always much happier to be talking rather than writing. John is really encouraging us tonight to be walking in the truth, to be walking with Jesus, to keep on going, just like at my story at the start, to put one arm over the other until the end of the race, knowing that like Michelle, she had gone before me, Jesus has gone before us. My motivation that day was that my wife was absolutely beating the pants off me. But I want you to think of your own walk and what motivates you. John is calling us to keep on going, lifting one leg after the other, walking in truth to the end of the race, to walk in love and obedience and truth with Him. In doing that, we may be loving and supporting each other each day, and we do that. To finish, I was looking up some stats about Australian churches, and it said that our youth, by the time they reach their second year in uni, so 2 years out of high school, 80% of them would have walked away from their faith. 80%. That's just way too many. My prayer is for our youth that we might be a youth that breaks that stat and reverse it, that 80% of our youth, as they get into their second year in uni, will still be here walking strong with Jesus. And for the rest of us, how many of our friends used to sit in these pews with us that are no longer here walking in the truth? How many people do we know that were once on fire for Jesus are no longer here? So my prayer for our church is that we are a church that hangs on to this truth, that we take the words of John here to heart, that we be aware that walking with Jesus is hard, but we do have the eternal goal of spending eternity with Him. So if you are struggling here tonight, don't just walk out. Turn around, talk to a brother and sister, ask them to pray for you, ask them to meet up with you. Don't just let your walk with Jesus fade away. Let us be a church that keeps on walking and be different from this, what this world tells us to be. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement from 2 John, Lord. We pray that you give us the strength this week, this month, these coming years to stay strong in our walk with you, Lord. Help us to be caring for our brothers and sisters. Help us to be watching out for each other, challenging each other. We praise you and thank you that we do have access to God because of what you have done on the cross for us, Lord, and that we can live our lives with that eternal perspective. We thank you for tonight, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Just want to give you some time now to pull out the care card that's in front of you, or SMS the number that Ryan's going to put up, even though I've thrown him off. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you. If you are struggling your walk, as pastors, we'll be meeting up and praying, so put it down and put a comment. If you want a link to that video that I spoke about, put it down and I'll happily email it to you. It's an awesome video, 15 of your minutes of your life that you won't regret watching.